Good morning. Okay, I wrote this sermon Friday afternoon while listening to a very energetic 1962 recording of Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville. So forgive me if I got a little energized myself and ambitious in preparing this sermon. I read it again yesterday and said, nah, leave it unchanged. I figured if I make a fool of myself, I can blame Rossini, who is not one of my favorite composers anyway. So I prefer the Germans heavier. Our gospel reading is the very last section of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. So I said to myself on Friday, since I was feeling kind of energized, why just do the last part of chapter 1? Let's just do the whole chapter. Let me talk about the whole of chapter 1 of John, which is such an amazing, energizing part of the Bible. Because you see, chapter 1 begins in eternity and ends in eternity again. It begins in eternity. And the only way to think of eternity is with God. Because only God is eternal. Only God is eternity. I find really pathetic the people who try to get around having to deal with God. Having to deal with God and the eternity of God. So, Big Bang, they tell you. I have no problem with the Big Bang. I also like the Big Bang show on television too. No problem with the Big Bang, but what was there before the Big Bang? What was there before? Oh, an empty vacuum, an emptiness. Oh, and where did that empty vacuum come from? Has it always existed? Eternally? Because then we still have the problem of eternity. We still have to deal with the problem of eternity. Just coming up with a Big Bang 13.8 billion years ago does not solve the problem. A vacuum, an emptiness. And how does an empty vacuum create all of that energy that blew up in the Big Bang and burst forth in a fraction of 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 a second? And they tell you 43, fraction, 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 43 times. That's how small an interval of 1 second, 10 to the minus 43 in scientific language. Fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. You can't even conceive such a minuscule length of time. A quantum accident, a singularity, and in that 10 to the minus 43 of a second, the whole universe came into being, all the matter, all the energy that would create the trillions of galaxies. Fine, great, wonderful science. Cosmology and quantum physics are the best that science has to offer. Okay, but what caused that quantum event, that singularity, in an empty vacuum where there was nothing? How do you create all that matter and energy from an infinitesimal quantum leak in an empty emptiness? No idea. Mystery. Well, I'm an Orthodox Christian, and I love mysteries. I love mysteries. And our mysteries in our faith are, with all due respect to the scientists, more believable than what they have to offer. Oh, but they'll answer back and say, wait, you Christians, where did you come, God come from? Don't you have the same problem? Actually, I don't. Because if God is God, that question answers itself. God is eternal. You don't want to accept God? Fine. Deal with your Big Bang. But I accept God. And God is eternal. And I don't have to answer the snide remark of a scientist or an atheist. I find that easier to believe in God than in a universe that creates itself out of an emptiness. Because that's what science tells you. Oh, but we have to believe the science, don't we? Yeah, we believe the science. That's what we are told during COVID. A lot that did for us. Believe the science, we are told, about global warming. Believe the science, we are told, as we are headed for an AI Armageddon. Believe the science, we are told, as we are turning space into a military war zone. Because it's not enough that we've turned this planet into a war zone. Believe the science, we are told, as the bosses of science create technology that pollutes and destroys the minds and hearts and bodies of people, especially young people, and makes us strangers and enemies to each other. Trust the science, we are told, when parents change the gender of their children. Right. Believe the science of people who themselves tell you that a man can have a baby. And who can't tell you who is a woman and what is a man. I was a scientist. I didn't get very far, but at least to a master's degree. I was a scientist in a former life, and it never fed my soul or my heart. Then I found Christ and the church. Because even though I grew up in a Greek home, I didn't know Christ. I found Christ in the church, and I found meaning. And John's answer to creation at the beginning of his chapter 1 is simple and very believable. He starts chapter 1 in eternity. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Would you ever trade that for a 10 to the minus 43 of a second? That's truth. Not the truths that human beings make up. Yes, the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overcome it, still does not overcome it. Because the faith is still alive, and people still believe in God despite the atheism. The scientists think they have found a new language to describe the world and the universe, because of course we've gone beyond Newton and Galileo and all the older ones. But that's because they refuse to accept the language that God gave us, the Word, or Logos. Ο λόγος σάρξε γένετο. That's the language of creation. That's the language also of incarnation. It's the language of eternity, and it's also the language of now. And of the now when John wrote his gospel. The word, the logos, that's the language of creation. God spoke. God spoke. It's right there. In the real ultimate, the far out beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered over creation. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Did he say it in 10 to the minus 43 of a second? I don't know. He spoke. Let there be light. And it didn't end there. God goes where science cannot go. The word that spoke the universe into existence, the word, the Logos, became man. That Jesus that we honor is the Word of God becoming man. And so in that climactic verse of chapter 1 of John, he says, Και ο λόγος σάρξ εγένετο και εσκήνωσεν εν ημίν. The Logos became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And what else? Even that is not the climax. What do we use words for? What do you use words for? To communicate, to explain things, to describe things. Here's a beautiful line. Θεόν ουδήσε ώρακεν πόποτε, μονογενής Θεός ο αιώνης των κόλπων του Θεπατρός, εκείνος εξηγήσατο. No one has ever seen God except the one who was in the bosom of God, who himself is God, namely the Word. And he, the Word, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, the Word in the flesh, he explains to us God. Εξηγεί. Exegesis, where we get the English word exegesis. I'm doing a little exegesis for you here, but it doesn't compare to what Jesus, the Word of God, exegesato. And he explains to us, he exegi to us, God the Father. The incarnation, that's what we call it. When the Word became flesh, became a human being and lived among us in order to exegete the Father, his Father, our God. And that's when the exegesis begins, the exegesis, the unfolding of all the mysteries that science cannot explain, but which are our life. With the incarnation, John's narrative now, as chapter 1 proceeds, returns to the earth from eternity and what is happening at the time of Jesus. Who is, there's this man, there's this other John. We have the John who wrote the gospel, and there's this other John who is in the River Jordan baptizing people and preparing them for the appearance of the Word, for the appearance of the Messiah, the appearance of Jesus Christ. And when John the baptizer sees Jesus walking by, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the eternal Word, whom we know as the Son of God, becomes a man, and as a man, he will be the Lamb of God." From the heights of eternity and infinity, John has brought us to the time of Jesus, where he begins the revelation of God, and where he will become a sacrificial lamb of God. The same idea that Paul expressed in his letter to the Philippians: though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself. He emptied himself and humiliated himself to the form of a servant by becoming man. But this Lamb of God will not die before he brought a number of men and women into the secrets of creation and salvation, exegesis of the mystery. Science takes us to a brick wall. I love science, don't get me wrong, but it takes us to a brick wall. Jesus Christ takes us through the doors of meaning and reality and truth. Nathanael is one of those men to whom Jesus reveals the meaning of everything. Nathanael is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. No guile, no duplicity, no deceit, no hidden agenda. A straightforward man. And only a straightforward man or woman can understand the exegesis that begins to unfold. That's what we must be if we want to understand what Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, exegesado. Yes, dear friends, be men and women with no guile. Don't come in here with an agenda, wanting to hear what you want to hear. Come with no guile. With no, just ready to receive, not so much from me, but from the words of the scriptures, from the prayers, from the communion, from the body and blood of Christ, that Word of God who became flesh. He offers his flesh and his blood to us in communion. That's how total our communion, our fellowship, our union with God is meant to be. We're not cannibals. But what we receive in communion is that man, that Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God incarnate. The same promise will be given to you as was given to Nathanael. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And that he gives himself a new name there. We've already seen the Word, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and now the Son of Man. There is no end to the names that we can give to the Lord. And that Son of Man, on whom angels are ascending and descending, is the Word. And he gives us words to plumb into the depths of divinity and the mystery of our existence. And why all this? Why this incarnation? Why so many names for the man Jesus? Because he was more than man. But he became man and revealed the face of God to us. And it is a face of infinite love. And it is the face of Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God the Father, but we have seen the face of his Son, his Word, who became man. And we represent his face in icons. And along with his face, the face of his mother. We had a great catechism class Thursday night. Probably the best ever. And it was all because of little Owen, 8-year-old Owen, who was there. And we were talking about how God knows us. And Owen said his mom knows him because he was in her body for 9 months. Owen knows his mom. His mom knows him. That's actually what his mom knows him, because he was in her body for 9 months. Same with Mary, the Theotokos. She shared her humanity, her face, her nature with the Son of God, who became her son. Yes, and we have icons of the saints who became sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. Christ, the face of God, the face of love, the face of salvation, the face of the eternal kingdom. In eternity won't be enough to see the depths of what that face means to us. Glorious, glorious salvation. Nothing compares with that. Join Nathanael, and you will see greater things than anything that man or science can imagine. You will ascend to the highest heaven, and the gates of eternal life will be open to you. Amen.